Hello, my friends, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast, the DDP, for the 24th of November. I am Paul White, and we have made the turn into the Proverbs. Spent the last several weeks working through several of the Psalms, and now we move on to that great book of wisdom from the Old Testament. The key word, in fact, in the book of Proverbs would be the word wisdom, a word usually understood in Hebrew vernacular as the ability to live life skillfully. And that's why the book of Proverbs was considered such an important book to the rabbinical writings and in the tradition of the Hebrew understanding of God, because they wanted to live a godly life, and they knew they were trying to live a godly life in the middle of an ungodly world, and that's not a simple assignment, particularly when you are not a new creation. And they didn't know anything about that phrase, new creation. That's an entirely new covenant concept. So if you're in an old covenant world, you don't have the possibility of new creation reality, of having a transformed heart, of putting faith in something bigger than yourself, as in the finished work of Jesus and what he has done. That's not a possibility. That's an anachronism. In fact, to try to act as if they could have understood that, the best you can do are the Proverbs. So I love the Proverbs, but I don't live by them. And I hope you understand what I mean. I am a new creation, and therefore I am not living by a standard or a set of Proverbs that give detailed instructions of how to live successfully. Now, I don't downplay the Proverbs as wisdom literature. I just don't view them as redemption literature. By doing them, I'm not going to be redeemed. They are not some sort of list of commandments or requirements by which I achieve something in the Father. They're wisdom advice. And please, when you read them, understand that they are advice written by men. And some of the language is written by men who, well, let me just be specific. Solomon is attributed, most of this book is attributed to Solomon. Now, that's probably not entirely the case. Solomon would have been a contributor, but certainly not the left-to-right writer, the full volume of it written by Solomon. This was a book that was sort of added to over and over as we moved throughout history. And so some of it is Solomon, but Solomon also is attributed to the book of Ecclesiastes, and it has some language that is entirely depressing and not at all reflective of the new covenant. And so you have to be careful when you consume things like Ecclesiastes. So keep that in mind as you read the book of Proverbs, that it's advice to live by. And always filter that through the new covenant. But the stuff that it talks about is really practical for everyday living. And that's why the Proverbs have stood the test of time, because we are living this thing out daily. And practical advice is always good advice. There's a combination of poetry. There's some parables. There's a pithy question here and there. There's short stories. There's little maxims full of wisdom. And a lot of common sense and a little bit of divine perspective once in a while. Solomon is considered the principal author, and he's also considered the pinnacle wise man in Israel, sort of the top of the mountain, if you would. The Greek title of the book is Proverbs of Solomon. The Hebrew title is Proverbs of Solomon, and the Latin is the book of Proverbs, and so we realize that for most of the history, that's who it's been attributed to. Now, I'm going to handle this book the same way we did Psalms, and that is just work our way through, see what jumps out at us, see what I've taught and preached over the years, and some notes I've put down in my hard copy of the Bible, and things I would bring out if I were going to talk about this, knowing that I'm coming at it from a new covenant perspective, and I know that that's what you're looking for as well. That's why you keep coming back to the DDP, is because we keep showing you the angles of Jesus, pictures of Jesus. No exception today. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3, and I want to show you some things. Here's why you have to be careful by taking the Proverbs and not If you don't put the finished work on them, here, look at some of the stuff you're going to be left with. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 33, the curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the just. In other words, God's cursed wicked people and he's blessed just people. And yet, Paul will write in the book of Romans, bless and curse not. And in the book of Galatians, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, for as it is written, cursed is every man that hangs on the tree. And so if you just try to let that verse stand by itself, Proverbs 3:33, then you have everybody that doesn't know the Lord's under a curse, and you go, well, they get what they deserve. And that doesn't look like Jesus, and it doesn't sound like Jesus. So that's a great example as we start this book for how you can handle this. But here's what I want to point out today. I was asked recently in a Q&A, and you probably heard it because we handled it here on Long Form Friday a few weeks ago. And someone asked, is grace a New Covenant message or is there grace in the Old Testament? And I answered that grace is everywhere, that God didn't come up with grace when he gets to the New Covenant, but he personifies grace in the man Christ Jesus. Well, I want you to look at Proverbs 3:34. Surely he scorns the scornful, but gives grace to the humble. He gives grace to the humble. Look at that. God in the business of giving grace in a decidedly Old Testament, Old Covenant book. In fact, this verse is referenced twice in the New Testament. Let me show you. James chapter 4, verse number 6, James says this. He gives us more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God resists the proud would be from the Septuagint, the Greek translation of Proverbs, whereas we read the Hebrew translation, surely he scorns the scornful. So in resisting the proud, God gives grace to the humble. That is a early Christian rallying cry, because James is writing in the near the beginning of the canon. Listen to Peter, who's also Peter's preaching a message a little more akin to the James message. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, likewise, young people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another, be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So both James and Peter use Proverbs 3:34 to present the message that grace is given by God, but you cannot achieve it through your own performance, through your own works, or through your own pride. And they're quoting Proverbs 3:34, which answers the question, is there grace in the Old Covenant? Is there grace in the Old Testament? Or is it a New Testament invention? No, grace is not a New Testament invention. Grace has always been available. The accessibility of grace has always been to remove your pride and receive. You say, well, how do we receive grace in the New Covenant? We remove our pride and receive by trying to keep the law for righteousness. That's a proud act. Remove that, knock that down, and then you'll be able to receive God's grace. All right, more from the Proverbs tomorrow as we continue. Hope you'll be with us. Have a great day. God bless.